This episode of Midori House was first broadcast on the 5th of October 2016 on Monocle 24.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of Midori House, coming to you live from the 14th edition of the Frieze Art Fair in London's Regent Park. And I'm Robert Bound. On today's show, we'll be speaking to art advisor extraordinaire Lisa Schiff about the art worth dropping a few bucks on this year's fair. We'll have a chat with Jane Morris, editor-at-large of the art newspaper, for the mammoth task of taking stock of all that's on show. Out and about in the fair, we'll meet Samson Young, the performance artist who might have a sweet song just for you if you dial the right number. And later on, Carla Camacho, a partner at Lehman Morpin Gallery, will drop by to tell us whether a booth is a comfort blanket or a showcase for new work. That's all coming up here in the next half hour from a special edition of Midori House, coming to you live from Frieze in Regent's Park. And here we are, complete with a little bit of what they call ambient noise in radio terms, a little bit of background noise. We're in the reading room here at the Frieze Art Fair, the 14th Frieze Art Fair in London's Regent's Park. Can you believe it? God, my first guest is so the old art advisor, Lisa Schiff, who just made a face at the idea that there's been 14. We've been trotting around here for 14 years. Lisa, welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
When we think about Frieze, we sometimes we're not always forget that it is an art fair, that the things here are for sale. There are wonderful sort of curatorial edges to some of the displays here, and there's obviously the sculpture part, there's focus, there's all these things that kid you that maybe there isn't a price tag attached to all of it. But we want to kick off the show by talking about some of the things that might have been, if not exactly at the top of your shopping list, but are kind of on it. So tell me about how you approach Frieze and what you know is going to be there before you even turn up.
Well, we usually start doing previews about a month ahead of time, which is really time consuming for the office because we will bug every single gallery on the list, every single one, until we keep notes until we get it. And then we have a list of what we haven't received. But we also know that they're not sending everything or that last minute things come in, but usually like their best gems may not hit the list. So we're often calling ahead of time proactively about specific artists and specific works. I mean, I'm sure even by the time we get the previews, usually the most sought after works are often sold already.
Right.
They could be pre-promised to people before they even come out of the studio.
I like the idea of a pre-promise.
Pre-promise.
That sounds, imagine getting engaged and there was a pre-promise. Sorry, I'm pre-promised to somebody else. That's a promise of a promise, right? I love that.
I've been reserved.
And what happens with these things? We should say that the idea of art advisory to our listeners, obviously we've got a little bit of a crowd here at Frieze itself, but for our listeners around the world, that this there is an idea of shopping on someone else's behalf, of advising collectors on ways to strengthen a collection, maybe to send them down avenues that they hadn't explored before. At this year's Frieze Art Fair, we've had a day walking around the tent. How do you feel? Do you feel that you're going to be pushing people towards new horizons, or do you feel that there's some familiar names on the walls here?
No, we're not going towards any new names on this trip. We're looking at older art, or in terms of younger ones that we are aware of, and we're more using this time to learn.
Okay.
About younger artists, but we're so focused.
So you're
right
a bit
now.
You're consolidating a bit whilst,
yes,
whilst taking out the pen and writing down the names of some young bucks, possibly for the next few years.
Yes.
And is the fair a good place to find new talent, or is it a good place to sort of check the health of the market in some of the works that you might, some of the artists and the works that you might have pushed people towards already, Amanda?
A little bit of everything, and it just depends on what the agenda is, which varies from fair to fair. So in this particular fair, I'm working on a very expensive blue chip acquisition, a few. So that locks me up in time not to really spend time looking at the young.
Okay.
But I have staff here who will do that for me and photograph everything in the fair, outside of the fair, so that afterwards we can sit down and go through it.
So what's that? That's now people would love to be a fly on the wall at that meeting. What? So you corral and collate all these sort of smartphone images of works, and you know, and you've spoken to the gallerist. You know how much, you know what sort of figures you're talking about. Where does that meeting just take place, and can we film it?
You could film it. It takes place in New York, and we call it like a Frieze London wrap up.
Yeah.
So we'll send to all of our clients like a big file of what are our picks from the fair, with the booth number and the price and a picture of it, not the professional photo, but like in the fair.
Yeah.
And they see, it's funny. I mean, you spend all this time getting professional images before, but after they really like to see it, like we were there.
Yeah.
And we'll do it in museums, we'll do it in the galleries, and it lets them feel like they came here a little bit, at least have some idea of what's going on.
So there's a bit of reportage photography going on. You might get a kitten heel or a Savile Row suit.
Yes.
Just peeping into view on the photograph.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we don't all agree on what we like, so.
Yes, yeah, so there's an interesting. So there's quite a lot of editorial in this advisory as well, Lisa. That you are obviously, you're finding quality, you're finding newness, you're finding freshness, but you're also matching works with collectors, both potential and actual. Is that right? You have a sense of a quality of something, and then you try to match it with someone, or does it always come from the other way around?
It can go in either way. Like if I see something that I love and it's not necessarily in someone's on their radar, then I might call them and say, I really want you to get this, or I really want you to look at this. But I'm much more hesitant about it now, because we're at a time where, I mean, how many private museums are there, and how many collectors are there with storage facilities full of a private museum, like that could possibly actually be a museum? We've gone like well beyond the normal volume of acquiring artwork, and a lot of it comes back to us for sale eventually.
Okay.
Especially when you buy a lot of young stuff that hasn't quite had its time to have any historical context. And having been doing this, as you just reminded me, for 14 years, I don't want to see it back. So I'm really careful on the younger side now. You know, it's not as expensive and, oh, it's only whatever, just get it. But I don't want to see it back. I don't want to go back to the gallery with it, because it hurts the artist's feelings. Sometimes it hurts their career. Like, it's just, so I really think, it seems quite like a very healthy market here today. But for sure, we're having less requests for young than we are for older and more expensive.
So, and people will wonder that this is the same instinct for collectors as it is for you, Lisa, as an advisor to them. Are you using instinct, or is this sort of 14 years, I mean, at Frieze here, 14 years of kind of knowing you right? Or are you taking, how much are you taking a bet, and how much are you kind of delving into a little bit of art history to make your picks?
I was with a friend yesterday. His name is Magnus Resch, and he is a PhD in economics, and he has an app called Magnus that takes Shazam photos of artworks and gives you the price. And he does a sort of, he's like a statistician. Sorry, I can't say that word.
Statistician. I knew I should have given you a larger measure of wine.
He looks at the numbers only. He measures the numbers, and I go by my instincts or my feelings. And he was sitting next to me while I was speaking to a reporter yesterday, laughing at me. He goes, oh my God, you're so about your feelings. And he's like, you're not looking at the numbers. I'm like, I am telling you, I'm right. But it's probably somewhere in the middle. But the art market, and I only name him because we would stand here and argue all night long. It is so nuanced. It is not like widgets. And so it is kind of being here and getting a vibe, talking to my colleagues, hearing what they're saying, you know, and it feels to me like, A, it was a very, very, very slow summer for the most part. The market feels like a little back on its heels here since like after Labor Day. I think it's a very strange time in the world. You know, it's not necessarily a bad time in the market, but think people are just a little uneasy, but it's been good to see this kind of attendance queues around the block to go see the Abstract Expressionist show at the Royal Academy. You know, I would say this, no matter what, consuming art as an experience is definitely on the rise. So what you talked about when we first started, where it's sort of masked here and there as both a commercial venue but also an exhibition, I think they're catering to two different kinds of clientele, people who are actually buying art and people who are just visiting the fair, which is probably why WME invested in Frieze, because they saw that there's a lot of expansive potential here, that you're not just reliant on this one part of it, but there's other bits of it that can be expanded out.
It's interesting stuff. I think our listeners will be heartened to learn that it is as much about vibe as it is about zeros and ones.
Yep.
And zeros and zeros and zeros, yeah. Sometimes. Lisa, we've run out of time. We could talk all night about this, and we shall let you run off and finish that sale. thank you very much there to our first guest, Lisa Schiff. We should also mention there, which is all about experience, all about doing something else rather than simple art advisory, simple in inverted commas. Lisa, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Indeed. It's 6:11 in the evening here in London. We're coming to you live from the Reading Room at the Frieze Art Fair. I'm Robert Bound. This is a special edition of Midori House. We're just swapping our guests around on one of our almost comfortable Martino Gamper stools. Thank you very much, Lisa. Jane Morris has joined us, a familiar voice on Monocle 24's airwaves.
Hello.
Now, it's here we are again, Jane. It's
indeed. I think it might be my 13th rather than my 14th. No, 14th, same.
But either way, we must. It's kind of maybe you have sort of like Russian prison tattoos. We can get them done at Frieze next year. I believe there is a booth, in fact, where this is happening. So this is an interesting thing. We were talking to Lisa Schiff there about the idea of it's always the curatorial. It's always about discovery versus the price of things. It's always the curatorial versus kind of young blood and all the rest of it. I wonder. Well, let me put a question to you. I feel that at Frieze this year, there is an idea of kind of reinvigorating some lost childhood, the Frieze of old. The floors may be a little bit more rickety. There isn't such an expensive fit out. Maybe we've gone a little bit punk this year.
I don't know.
I
don't know quite what's happened, but I do actually think that the fair feels a bit fresher this year. It feels like the stands have got a bit more space. It feels like people have brought rather livelier things. You know, I really liked walking in and seeing corrugated iron on the Modern Institute stand.
Yeah.
I like seeing, you know, Prem Sahib, tiled sculptures. And people seem to be in a very good mood. And why this is curious, because as I think Lisa was touching on, we are not living in the happiest of times at the moment. And I don't think people are feeling enormously confident about the market, and people are worried about Brexit, although there may be a sort of temporary benefit from the low pound at the moment. But people seem to be having a good time. I mean, I see a lot of rather chirpy looking people. There seems to be quite a lot of young people.
Yeah, is this, what do we put this down to? Is this strong work? Is this weak pound? Is this meaning that art Frieze is an attractive proposition for overseas buyers? Is there an element of that?
Obviously at the moment, if you are coming with
should
euro,
I be putting on a foreign accent to make these transactions I've been
only
doing?
If you've got dollars and euro in your pocket, I would suggest. So if you happen to run a couple of other bank accounts, this might be a good time for you to buy. I don't know. I mean, I wondered if it, again, is something that Lisa might have touched on, that there seems to be a feeling in the air. There seems to be more people talking about the value of art to make you feel better, actually, to have experiences that are not so much to do with money in the market. And of course, we've always known that that was true, but it seems like a lot of people want to talk about that more at the moment. And I don't know if galleries have just responded a bit and brought in things that are perhaps they're less expensive, but there does seem to be quite a lot of work by younger artists. Maybe people are treating it less as a sales opportunity and more as a marketing. I don't know.
Yeah, well, there's an interesting thing. I mean, we're going to speak to one of the partners at Lehman Maupin later in this program, at the end, in fact, and be interesting. We will speak to Carla about that. About the booths seem larger.
They do.
And they feel like they're more of a showcase than simply a shop window. I've seen less stands that are a bit like the greatest hits of the art market and more that have some thought in them. And they're quite nice places to hang out, you know.
Yeah, and yeah. I think this will be a nice addition to visit. I mean, I think if you're not there to buy and you're there to look, I think this is really, you know, a very nice addition to visit. And I think, you know, the focus section, which is for younger galleries and artists, is very good this year. And we've got this fun 90s section.
I know, there's really good things. Okay, let's tick these things off our list. We made a little list earlier. Let's talk about the 90s. It was wonderful to see Razor laugh again, right?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Such a classic that's kind of come back. Tell us about your hits of the 90s without mentioning Oasis or Blur, Jane Morris.
So I think that everyone is going to love Buchholz and Buchholz. Installation. It's Wolfgang Tillmann's. It's from, I think, 93. The gallery is really tiny, and they've recreated it even with the door and the sockets and switches. This was an event that happened in Cologne. I think quite a few people talked about it, but, you know, they didn't really sell very much. But now has entered into history. I think it's kind of slightly alarming that the 90s are history, I have to say. I would say that.
It makes me feel older than I did this morning.
Indeed. Yeah. But I think that's really nice. And I think people who remember the Michael Landy, where he had all the kind of fruit boxes stacked up in South London, will enjoy seeing what's left of them, which were the only few that sold, because everything else was destroyed. You know, the crash had happened, there was no money. I think perhaps there's a certain nostalgia, actually, for that period when people weren't making a lot of money, when people felt they could be very experimental. This is the generation, I remember, I'm part of it, that regrets that they didn't live through punk. And so there was a kind of sudden explosion of experimentation. I think it's nice to see that again.
And we're going to skip focus, because we're going to go. We had an idea of crowd pleasers. Can you give us your one sort of crowd pleaser, your one stand here that you know will be on the front page of a newspaper that isn't about art tomorrow?
Okay. Well, I was going to name check John Raffman's virtual reality, but it's in focus. So what I am going to talk about is Hauser & Wirth. They have very firmly tongue-in-cheek recreated a fantasy artist studio. It's full of objects. They range from $3,000 to $3.5 million, but the great thing about it is that anyone who's ever been to one of those museums where they recreate a studio and say, you know, and it's kind of a bit fake, these things obviously, and say, you know, this tells you so much about the artist, well, this is kind of poking fun at that, because of course it doesn't.
Yeah, just one of those things. Did you get the comedy in that, the idea of it, because it's one of those things, it's a nice place, it's a nice space to inhabit, right? So close to the front of a
I think fair. If you want to buy into the dream of the south of France studio with kind of plaster attractively all over the place, you'll see it as an homage. If you share my views on artist studio recreations, you'll see the fun. It was definitely built with fun in mind.
And while we're on the subject of the 90s and recapturing our youth and seeing a little bit more experimental stuff here, what are you going to do tonight that's going to recapture your youth, Jane? How are we going to get there?
I think that's called Too Many Glasses of Dry White Wine Somewhere Slightly Scuzzy.
Snake Bite and Black by Jane Morris. Jane, thank you as ever for joining us. Jane Morris is, of course, the editor at large of the Art newspaper. And here we are. We're at the reading room at the 14th Frieze Masters. We're going to talk about Frieze projects. What might they be? Each year, a handful of artists are commissioned to create immersive works that play out around the fair. This year, the Loos are being attended to by playfully dressed Julie Verhoeven, Martin Soto Clement, has acrobats hanging from a giant spider's web, and Hong Kong artist Samson Young has created a multimedia walkway. Now, Monocle's Bill Lutie caught up with Young, who was waiting for a tuneful phone call.
To talk about my fears is difficult because I've been very fortunate. I feel lucky, so I don't have many things to be afraid of, really. Maybe that something can happen to the people I love, but I guess everybody has those fears. Otherwise, I'm in a fantastic place right now in my life.
Samson Young, we're here outside the VIP room in Frieze London. What are we doing?
So I'm waiting for the participants of the walk to show up. If they didn't get lost and they ended up being here, then some interaction, personal interaction, is supposed to happen. And so I'm just waiting for my phone to ring, actually.
So you've got a phone there. People are walking around Frieze. This is location specific. what are they going to be experiencing on their way around?
So they will see films that were shot on location that was edited together with films that are shot in North Carolina, in Hong Kong, and also here. And so they follow different paths. They end up in this area. And then me and Michael and other characters in the walk, we are going to interact with them personally. We're going to do some singing.
And are you allowed to give away any clues as to what the story is about?
It's about this character called Locke, and he is under the hallucination that he's going to be adopted. So then he commissioned and paid a private investigator to document his imminent disappearance. So this walk is about sort of fear of disappearance, and that as the kernel of the idea, and it sort of branched out into other things. So we in North Carolina, we went to a tobacco warehouse and we interview a very old and probably one of the last tobacco auctioneers. And I interview a couple of other people about sort of what they fear. And the sort of this fear of disappearance or fear of death is the kernel of the work.
And was that inspired by the fair itself? I mean, I'm partway through the tour. I've been to a bookshop, there's a gallery halfway through, and obviously there's plenty of galleries here. How did you work with the space to get the ideas into the videos?
Yeah, so I think I was thinking about how, well, two things. It has the walk has a lot to do with tobacco smoking. So how tobacco smoking is really, it's a very weird thing in that it's this thing that is not good for you, but we do it. But it's one of the very few things that distinguishes us from animals, right? And art making has sort of the same thing. So I think about, I mean, I'm paraphrasing Andrea Fraser here about how sort of every creative act, and I include tobacco smoking as a creative act as well, is a gentle whisper of the author for people to remember them. So I was thinking about how the fair, the sort of tobacco warehouse and the fruit market, which I shot, all these places where activities happen, where creativities are sold, where tobaccos are being moved, these are places where you can think about sort of these activities as essentially whispers of sort of people trying to tell others to remember them. And so I guess that's what I started with, yeah. And the fair, and I sort of cut that together with the like shots of fruit market in Hong Kong, and yeah, like I said, the tobacco warehouse. And they actually all had this very similar structure. They were all structured like a tent. So when you added the film together, they had this interesting continuity about them, which I liked.
And I should point out that at any moment you might have to run off to interact with someone who's doing the tour. How have you been? How's that been received? How have people been reacting?
So there are two stages of that interaction. Oh, I have to do that right now.
So Samson has just had to walk off. He's answered a phone and he's talking very quietly. I tried to record him, what he was saying, but he covered his mouth and turned away. So presumably it's quite a personal conversation. I'm trying to see if the person he's talking to is in the area. It's a few people with headphones. But I can't see who he's talking to.
Rather afar from the Saviour today.
So he's coming back now. Samsung, who did you just speak to?
Somebody just called, and who experienced the walk, and I just sang to them through the phone. Yeah.
What did you sing?
I don't want to give the song away. So.
No, that's fine. Maybe I'll have to complete the tour and speak to you like that. And you say it's not your usual thing. Maybe it's outside your comfort zone. How do you feel that helps you as an artist? Are you developing in some way by going and interacting with people?
It's very, I mean, it touches me to have that sort of personal interaction with people. It gives me pleasure, especially in an environment like this when you are sort of surrounded by people, and then to have somebody on the phone with you, and you sing to them. I just enjoy it. It's a good interaction. And I don't know these people, but like for a moment, sort of we are sort of on the phone and we are singing to each other and they are just listening, and there's something very moving about that, I think.
And thank you very much to Bill Luthi for that interview with Samson Young. We're nearing the end of a busy day here at Frieze, but we couldn't leave without hearing one of the many galleries showing at this year's fair and what they're up to. And I'm joined now by Carla Camacho, partner at Lehman Maupin Gallery. Carla, welcome to the programme.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
How's today been then? Everything's hung. The knuckles have been cracked. The champagne's been poured. We're almost at the end of it, although I know another stream of people are going to come in about now. Have you had a lovely day? Have you been smiling or commiserating with your colleagues at the gallery?
We've been smiling. It's been a really good day. We've had a lot of great interest, a few sales, and met a lot of interesting people. So we're hopeful as the fair goes on that more sales will happen.
And do you feel there is less of a kind of crazy frenzy that everyone has to be here at 11 o'clock on VIP day now, that actually people kind of spread the love a bit over the week, that you express an interest, you come back, there's a little bit more of a subtle business?
I would definitely agree with that. Even I'm feeling a difference from last year in that collectors are taking a little bit more time walking around and making their decisions with some thought.
Yeah, okay, a bit of thought's always good, right?
I think so.
Helps it go down a little bit easier, right? I always think. And how do you, I mean, you know, this obviously, the art fair season rolls on, it rolls around the world. We're obviously at one of its high points right now. At what point do you know what you guys are going to be bringing to Frieze London, what you're going to hang, and which works might suit which collector, and which ones you're going to take a real risk with?
Well, it's an ongoing conversation.
I asked you four questions in one there, just to make it difficult.
Yeah. It's an ongoing conversation that we have really beginning at the end of each fair for the coming year, and changes happen all the time up until the moment where we have that shipping deadline, which is usually about a month before the art fair, and we really take into consideration a lot of things, particularly what's happening with certain artists around the world, so we'd like to keep it timely.
Okay, so people are having a bit of a moment. There's museum shows, or there's retrospectives, there's surveys, all the rest of it. You want to be able to sort of leverage some of that goodwill and a bit of that fame and a bit of that sort of curatorial edge with your booth.
Absolutely, and I think Cotterati is a really great example of that, because he's been nominated for the Marcel Duchamp Prize, which will be announced on October 12th. So he's definitely somebody that we wanted to feature.
Now, I wanted to ask you about Cotterati. So tell us about this artist, just briefly for our listeners here at Frieze and around the world as well, because you've been working, there was a big acquisition done recently. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm absolutely thrilled that Cotterati's piece, Dispossession, was selected by the Contemporary Art Society for donation to the Middlesbrough Institute of Modern Art.
And it's great. And what does that mean? You know, when you come here, it's a great thing to be able to tell collectors. Does that mean? Does that lure people in? Does that just give a bit of a richness and depth to an artist's story?
Absolutely. Anytime an artist wins any kind of a prize or is selected, you know, in a short list, it gives them, a recognition that's really much appreciated by collectors who are either considering the work or who already own the work.
And I think before we go, Carla, I think people want to know when you're at a gallery, you're on the stand, there's such a network of people, places, things to sort out while you're here during Frieze Week. How on earth do you negotiate that? When's the last time you look at your phone before you go to bed, and at what point is the first time you look at it when you get up?
It never goes off. It's always on, and we really try to divide and conquer between the staff members here and be at as many places as we can and cover as much territory.
And what's the best night? Where do you go? What's the most fun to be had? Because when do you guys pack up? You pack up on Sunday. When are you back in next week?
We pack up on Sunday night, and we're all back by Monday, Tuesday, and getting ready for FIAC.
It's crazy. I kind of feel like it is. It's kind of like, far from it being necessarily a gravy train, but it does roll, it rolls, it rolls, it rolls. Do you have this down to a fine art? Is there an art in all of this as much as there is in the paintings on the walls?
Well, I like to say that you do as much preparation as possible, but then you have to improvise, because things always change.
I guess so. And you were talking of FIAC, you're going to be there in a couple of weeks' time. Does that have a very different feel to it?
It does. I have to say that I think that Frieze is a bit more international, because not only do you have a UK and American contingent, European of course, but I find that you get a lot of people from Asia, from Russia, even from South America.
Okay, Carla. And what's the one thing that you're not selling that you'd buy at this year's Frieze?
Sorry, repeat that.
What's the one thing that you're not selling yourself that you would like to buy at Frieze this year?
Well, one of the best things that I saw at the fair was a work by
we're going to have to tune in to tomorrow's episode,
yes, to get my answer.
Of Midori House, to get Carla Camacho's answer. That's all we have time for. Thank you very much to Carla from the Lehman Morpin Gallery. That is all we have time for here. Our show is produced by Holly Fisher, Bill Lutzi and Kieran Banerjee. We're back in the studio. Tomorrow we'll be from Frieze Masters live from 6 o'clock. We'll get it working a little better by then. But thank you, as ever, right here at Frieze and around the world, for tuning in.